It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is hit well into center field. That one's carrying out at center. It's out of here. Ohtani with a pinch hit home run. At the plate is Mike Trout. The pitch on its way. It's blasted out to dead center field. Out of here. Ball gets away. He's going to break for the plate. Ball game is over. The Angels with a walk-off win here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball. Here's your host, Trent Rush.
Welcome to the Angels Recap Podcast. Yes, I am Trent Rush. Yes, I am pumped up to be with you today talking some Angels baseball. We got a fun show coming up for you. We're going to check in with Tyler Wade, new Angels infielder. We'll talk about that infield competition that's brewing right now. We'll get a little bit more in depth on that as well. We're going to hear from Noah Syndergaard. We're going to hear from Shohei Ohtani because we have already seen some pretty cool things here at the start of spring training. I know we're just a few games in, but there have already been some moments worth discussing. Now, we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon, the 22nd. Let's talk about yesterday's game first, taking on the Kansas City Royals. The story of the day, there really was no question about it. It was all about Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei, I thought, was outstanding in this game. The thing for Ohtani, the first two innings, absolutely no trouble at all for Shohei. He goes two scoreless innings, comes back out. His pitch count was so low, Ohtani wanted to get to 50 pitches, and he ended up getting to 50 pitches, but comes back out for the third. That's where he does end up giving up a run. But I think with Ohtani, he got five strikeouts, didn't walk anybody. The key for Ohtani is going to be able to pitch deeper into games this year. That's something that he is really focused on. And that strikeout number is high, and that's great. That's fantastic. He's striking out that many. The no walks, I thought, was the biggest thing for Ohtani. How many spring games have we seen Shohei have just a boatload of walks? For him to have his first outing of the spring, he didn't walk a soul. That's outstanding for Shohei Ohtani. And it's just more about the evolution of Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher, as opposed to Shohei Ohtani, the thrower, when he first came in. Ohtani has talked about pitching deeper into games, not being afraid of pitching to contact in that sense, to be able to be more efficient, to be able to go more innings. That's a goal for him this year. The Angels need Shohei to get more outs, go more innings this season. That's going to be very important for this team to succeed, is for Ohtani to be able to provide those more innings. And I thought yesterday was a great first step in that direction. Here's the thing about spring training, and we have talked about this. Reading into stats, and the final line for Ohtani, I mean, he goes 2 1/3, 50 pitches, 34 of them were for strikes, no walks, 5 strikeouts, 1 run, 3 hits. Okay, great. We could talk about the final line for Shohei Ohtani. That doesn't really even matter as much as it does how he feels, the way he's locating, the way the stuff is coming off his hand, all those things, that's what matters. And then to make sure that his arm is okay when he's done throwing. That's what matters. Get comfortable, get right, get ready for the start of the season when things truly do matter. And Shohei Ohtani addressed the media after his outing yesterday.
All right, Shohei, first time out there on the mound this spring. How did it feel early on today?
Yeah, felt good out there. My first start.
How did the command feel with your pitches?
Command was pretty good for the most part, especially until I got the two strikes. The last two hits I gave up was sliders down the middle, so that's something I need to kind of work on.
What was your priority in this first time out on the mound today?
今日のテーマは優先的なテーマは何だったんでしょうか。今日はとりあえず多くストライクをまず投げるということと、それに対するバッターの反応を確かめるということだと思います。I just want to get to my pitch limit and see how the batters are reacting to my pitches. That's the main focus.
Did you throw all your pitches today, including the cutter?
全球種投げました。
スプリットは投げてないです
ね。Didn't throw my splitter, but everything else.
Why not for the splitter? Were you waiting until another outing for the splitter?
理由は投げてない理由はあるんです。時間を取っ
ておく。まあ優先する球ではないというか、なんていうんですかね、あんまり確かめる必要はない球なので、はい。
And, I had other priorities with my other pitches. Feel like my splitter's always going to be there.
How do you feel about the shortened spring training as far as being ready for the start of the season?
キャンプが短縮されてますけど、その中で開幕に向けて準備するにあたってどうでしょうか？順調に来てますか？
そうです。まあ多分登板間隔とか詰まってくると思うので、試合こなすために。なので、まあ、全体的な練習の量だったりとか、まあ僕の場合他にも試合出たりするので、まあ、その時の練習の量をしっかり調整するのが大事かなと思います。
I feel like since, like you said, we're on the shorter spring training, I'll probably be on shorter rest than normal in between my starts, so I need to adjust my workload and during my practice or in between games when I DH.
You've always pitched on 5 days rest. Do you think you can pitch on 4 days rest?
いつも中5で回ってましたけど、中4で回るっていうことも可能なんでしょうか？
どうですかね。まあ中を開けて球数をそれなりに多く投げるという調整もありますし、ある程度球数を抑えて中を短くして試合をこなすっていう、まあ、調整もあると思うので、まあ、話しながら決めたいなと思ってます。
I think there's a few choices. I can limit my pitch count and go on 4 days less rest or throw more pitches to go on longer rest. That's something I need to keep on discussing with the team.
All right, so that's Shohei Ohtani. Here's the beautiful thing about Ohtani yesterday as well. So he throws his 50 pitches yesterday. He strikes out 5, doesn't walk anybody, 3 hits, the 1 run. But we all want to know, how is he going to feel afterwards? Well, how about this? How about Shohei Ohtani in the lineup today as the leadoff man, DHing for the Angels? Back-to-back games, pitched yesterday, hitting today in the lineup as the Angels leadoff hitter with Mike Trout right there after him, and then Anthony Rendon after that. But if that's not an indication about how Ohtani felt yesterday went, well, I think him being at the top of the lineup card today certainly should tell you more than a few things. By the way, and how about this rule? And this just came down. This is fresh off the wire. For what's going to be happening in baseball this year is, you know, we're continuing to learn things as MLB and the Players Union continue to work out this CBA. I mean, the deal's done, but I mean, there's still a few things that are, you know, trickling out here. Among those rules is a rule change that with the universal DH now, there's basically a rule that impacts one person, and that's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, they're even coining this the Shohei Ohtani rule. Shohei now can pitch in games. Let's say he goes 5 innings. When he comes out of the game as a pitcher, he gets to stay in the game as a DH. That's new this year, and that's a game changer. I mean, and we're talking probably 40 at-bats, maybe at most, over the course of the season. But what a difference that makes late in games and the strategic element for Joe Maddon to where he's not mixing and matching at the end of games, and the Angels aren't at a disadvantage for having to have a pitcher slot still potentially have to bat and then have to pinch hit guys all the way through. You just got to allow Shohei Ohtani to stay in as a DH even when he's done pitching. That is a game changer. That's a huge rule change. And I remember talking about this on Twitter. People laughed at me. I talked about the possibility that that could be the rule because there really wasn't clarity when the universal DH was being reported that it was going to be coming out. And now we do have some clarity. And it is the best news possible for the Angels and for Shohei Ohtani. I want to shift gears for a second and talk about what I think is probably the most compelling storyline in camp. The middle infield conversation for the Angels is fascinating, and they talked about it a lot on MLB Network yesterday. It was something that I was definitely tuned into, wanting to know what some of the national perspective is on the Angels infield situation. I know we're going to see David Fletcher as one of the two spots. Is Fletch going to be the starting shortstop? Is he going to be the starting second baseman? Hard to say. The reality is he's probably going to be doing some of both. And I know that Joe Maddon would probably prefer to have David Fletcher in one spot. Like, yeah, I know Joe has talked about, hey, Fletch is my second baseman. And I think in a perfect world, Joe would love to have Fletch as my second baseman, a 9-hitter, and there you go. It's set, done. It's in the lineup card every day. 162 games. Fletch is the kind of guy that's going to give you that. All right. So I think that that's what Joe would probably prefer. I don't know that that's going to be the case just because of how the competition is going to go with a lot of these guys battling for different spots. It's something that it's going to be a competition all spring, and I don't think it's going to end when spring training ends. I mean, there's going to be an obvious winner that makes the roster on opening day. Whoever's going to be starting, whether it be at second base or shortstop, there's going to be a clear-cut favorite, whoever leaves Cactus League play with the position, but it's a competition that is not going to stop. I think there's so much talent at the middle infield that's, you know, as far as the Angels go, from Duffy to Rengifo. I mean they brought in Matt Duffy. They brought in Matt Duffy to play. You know, you bring in Velasquez to play. He's trying to find a landing spot. Tyler Wade does so many little things. I'm telling you, my favorite moment of spring training so far this season has been in the second game. It was against the Arizona Diamondbacks on Saturday. Second inning, two on, nobody out. Tyler Wade beats out a bunt hit. Perfectly placed bunt. Even if he doesn't beat it out, you have second and third, nobody out. But he does. And that great speed ends up allowing for two outs. Fletcher and Rengifo were both retired but brought in runs. Sacrifice runs. And what did Wade do in the process? He kept scooting up the bases. He kept tagging. He kept advancing. So then when Shohei Ohtani came the dish, he was at third base with two outs. Ohtani, little flare single, just like that, three-run score. That doesn't happen if Tyler Wade doesn't do what he does. Like, if Tyler Wade didn't drop a bunt, let's say he grounded out but wasn't able to advance the runner, well, now you got two on and one out, and then Fletcher was retired, and Rengifo was retired. I think it was Rengifo, then Fletcher, whatever it was, and then no run score. So the productive play on the bunt single was huge. And even if he doesn't, you know, even if he doesn't beat it out, at least one run is scoring, probably two, but because he did, it allowed three runs to score. That's the magic of what can happen on a diamond. Those are the little things. Those are the things that you watch in spring training. And you know what? That's baseball. And it's a brand of baseball that the Angels are going to play this season, and I'm excited about that. Nobody fits that mold better than David Fletcher and what he brings, and it allows guys like Trout and Ohtani and Rendon and Joe Adell and Jared Walsh, let those guys mash, all right? The responsibility for the Angels' middle infield, the responsibility for whoever it ends up being, and Fletch is going to be one of the two pieces every day, and we're probably really talking about three or four guys in there. All told. But the role of the middle infielders is going to be play great defense first, have productive at-bats second, and then everything else follows. It's not going to be about hitting for average or drawing a ton of walks. All those things are great. Don't get me wrong. You want those things. You know, David Fletcher could use, you know, he could get on base a little bit more. I think we all could agree with that. I think we're all comfortable with that. But the priority for David Fletcher is going to be play great defense, have productive at-bats, whether that be getting on base, finding ways to get on base, moving runners, doing different things, setting the Angels up for the sluggers to mash. These guys are going to drive in a lot of runs this year. And one of the biggest keys in my mind to this whole thing is going to be Anthony Rendon. How about the 17 games that Trout, Ohtani, and Rendon were a part of together last season? 162-game season, 17 games. Those guys were together. We never even got a taste of what the Angels could line up, what the Angels lineup could be with all of those guys together. We never even got a sniff of it. So having Anthony Rendon now in the mix and being a part of this and being healthy, we never saw Rendon healthy at any point last season. To me, Rendon is the X factor to make all of this work. Rendon is the key to everything for the Angels offensively. You know that Ohtani is going to give you MVP-level production. You know that Mike Trout is going to give you MVP-level production. And we know that Anthony Rendon is capable of MVP-level production. 2019, he was a top 10 finisher, top 3 finisher for NL MVP in his World Series season where Rendon was off the charts. But let's not forget, even in the COVID year, when Rendon missed the first week of the shortened 60-game season, he still finished top 10 in MVP voting. Rendon has the ability to be a premier hitter in this game. When Rendon is right, and this is not an exaggeration, I mean this. When Rendon is right and when Rendon is healthy, he's a top 10, top 15 hitter in baseball. He's that good. You put that guy with Trout and Ohtani, what this team can be, what this offense can provide is going to be special. And I really believe that this pitching staff is improved. But it starts with Anthony Rendon, in my mind, as being that X factor. And the difference is, Rendon is finally going to be healthy. And a healthy Rendon, I think, can open up the door for him in a lot of different avenues. I think Rendon is going to be a lot happier playing baseball if he's feeling right and feeling healthy. You get Trout, Ohtani, Rendon together in this lineup, the Angels can be really dangerous, and they're going to be a threat against any staff. The Angels are going to score runs this year. The key to this whole season is one word. It's health. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say it. It boils down to one word. Can the Angels stay healthy? If they can, this team can be extraordinarily tough to beat this year. I'm excited about what this year is going to be like. I'm telling you, the projections are with me on this. I'm not like jumping out on a limb here. I know that, you know, if you look at the Pocota rankings, they got Houston at 91 wins, the Angels at 88. I would call that in the margin. I think that that is within the margin of error that the Angels can be a team that can win this division. I think that with health and the pitching staff being what we all think and hope it can be, then you're going to see the Angels be in the mix for a division title. I firmly believe that. When you look at the top of the rotation with Ohtani and Syndergaard, Patrick Sandoval pitched yesterday. How about Sandy yesterday? 3 innings in a minor league game. Another guy that had no walks. 6 strikeouts. Gave up a run. But how about that for Patrick Sandoval? So yesterday, the two Angel starters in Sandoval and Ohtani, 11 strikeouts, no walks. And that was in what? 6 1/3? Take that from those two guys. Sandoval is going to be another key piece. Obviously, Michael Lorenzen, we talked about earlier this week. And then who's that next guy? Is it Berea? Is it Detmers? Detmers, I thought, looked really good the other day. Where's Suarez in the mix there? He's got to be in there, right? It's going to be fun seeing how this plays out. It really is. All right, we're going to hear from Noah Syndergaard in a little bit, who did speak on Bally Sports West after his minor league outing on Tuesday. But first, let's pause for a word from our sponsors here on the Angels Recap Podcast.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here's our conversation with another interesting storyline this year. I know we talked about it earlier, but who is going to be in the Angels infield, particularly who's going to be starting on opening day alongside David Fletcher? Where is that person going to be? Is Fletcher going to be at second or short? Or who's the other person going to be? What position is going to happen? All that still has to get sorted out. But one of the newcomers that is vying for that opportunity is Tyler Wade. And he and I spoke Tuesday morning about the transition of him coming from the Yankees to the Angels and what Tyler hopes to bring to this ball club. All right, we're hanging out with one of the new Angel infielders. Tyler Wade joins us now, joins his club coming over from the Yankees, and now here he is battling for one of those infield spots, and it's been a fun competition to watch so far. Tyler, first of all, welcome to the Angels. Welcome to our family here on the West Coast, and welcome home, somebody from SoCal. Yeah. What's it like for you now coming back and being with, in some ways, Murrieta, kind of like a hometown team with the Angels, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up watching the Angels and going to Angels games, so it's kind of a surreal experience to me. You know, when I got the phone call, I was getting traded over here, it kind of felt like a dream just because, you know, it's the team I grew up going to, you know, and I've watched from afar how fun this team is and how good they are and how talented they are. So, you know, being a part of this team and, you know, having a chance to really come in and make an everyday impact, it's been really exciting.
I remember, like, last year when you guys were here, and there was all these SoCal players. Like, the amount of Southern California players on the Yankees last year was crazy. Of course, yeah. You being one of them, and getting a little taste of coming back to the Big A. Did that have any impact on you for maybe why this is a club where you'd want to be?
Yeah, I mean, I've always said Anaheim Angel Stadium has been one of the top places I've liked to play, just in terms of atmosphere, playing surface, it's always been great. So Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be more happy to call the Big A the home, and hear the Big Fly. You know, like always, I've always grew up hearing all that. So you know, I'm excited to be at the be in Anaheim and be an Angel.
Good deal, man. So I was gonna say, because Murrieta, you got a choice. Like you could go Angels, you could go Padres. I think you got a couple options there. So hearing that you're an Angel guy, very good.
Yeah.
So, okay, Arizona spring training, hanging out with this Angels group. You know, in the media perspective, like what we do here on the radio and we're talking on the podcast, we talk a lot about the competition that's going on right now for some of the infield spots. Just from your perspective, what's it like with this group? Is this something, do you guys feel the competitive side on a day-in, day-out basis? Is that what's it like from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone they know what they bring to the table, and I think competition brings the best out in everybody. So I don't think it's like a vibe of the competition. You know, I think guys are hungry; they want to show what they want to do, and you know, given that opportunity, they want to go out and perform. So I just think maybe just like the attention to detail and the intent with how you go about your business is there. But like I said, I think a little friendly competition brings out the better in everybody. And, you know, believe it or not, it makes the other person better as well.
For sure. So you had a play. It was in the second game when you get that bunt single. Two on, nobody out. Ends up being a three-run inning doing that. I've been saying this on the air. It's been my favorite play so far of spring training that I've seen anybody do. Is that a brand of baseball that you are comfortable playing or that you maybe thrive playing in? Because that's what Joe Maddon's been wanting to do for some time here.
You know, I'm glad you used that word, thrive. I think, you know, the first thing coming over here, Joe pulled me aside and he goes, I love the way you play the game. He goes, don't change. He goes, feel free to just play your game. And I think just hearing that and having the freedom from my manager gives me the most confidence, because I think that's how I thrive in this game, is wreak havoc and make plays like that and get on base and steal a base or move a guy over for the big boys to come up and create runs that way. I couldn't be more happy to play my game again and be able to just wreak havoc.
I know that being in this lineup is still something that you're getting used to, but being with the big bats in New York the last couple of years, is there a sense of, I don't know if comfort is the word, but is there a sense of comfort knowing that you're able to kind of play that style when you know that you have, you know, the big time bats out there? Like maybe is there a responsibility that comes to being in the role that you have? Like what's that feeling like in a lineup?
You talking about when I was in New York?
Yeah, in New York, when just being the player that you are, because I don't know that it's that much different now with the Angels.
Yeah, I just feel, I mean, New York was great to me. You know, they drafted me. I grew up loving Derek Jeter. It was one of my favorite teams. I don't want to say anything bad, but you know, I just felt like they didn't want me to play my game. They wanted, you know, they were involved with, they loved the homers and the power numbers, and that's just not who I was. So yeah, it was a little bit different at times, you know, and you kind of get lost in translation with the short porch there and stuff like that. So it didn't really suit my game as well as it is here. So that's why I'm so excited to be here, just because I just think this just really suits my game.
I would imagine you're kind of, I mean, it's interesting feelings that you probably have, because on one hand, like you're battling, you're grinding every day in this competition for a spot in the Angels infield. And at the same time, there's probably a sense of freedom, right? To play that way. Like how are you kind of balancing that this spring?
Yeah, I mean, so I think what helps me is the experience coming from New York. You know, I feel every time I've come into camp since I got into the biggies, I kind of had to force my way onto that team and play hard and, you know, take a spot for somebody or just secure my spot. So I think, you know, coming into another competition camp, you know, I've kind of experienced that and I know what to do and how to go about my business. I just think with all that, a little bit more experience has helped me balance that and just, you know, go out there and not really have any pressure and just, you know, play the game how I play it and just have fun.
I think Angel fans are starting to learn, if they're watching spring training games, you guys are learning who Tyler Wade, the baseball player, is. I want to know about Tyler Wade, the human being. I want to know about Tyler Wade, the guy, because I know Yankee fans absolutely adored you. I saw you hanging out with the John Boy guys out in Arizona doing your thing with those guys. What could you tell us about just what you bring the what you could bring to maybe a clubhouse as just the you know, the person that you are?
Some energy, man. I'm a very high energy person. You know, I love being around the boys. I love talking a little smack here and there. You know, just bringing the energy. Cause, you know, through the course of the year, it's tough. You hit those valleys, and it's tough to get up sometimes in a midweek game with no one there. So, you know, me just bringing that constant energy and stuff like that. I mean, I learned from one of the best, Brett Gardner. You know, being over there for the last 5 years. You know, being able to watch him, he took me under his wing. He's the energy guy, and, you know, that's exactly who I am. So just being able to bring that constant energy, the positive energy, just to keep things going and having a good time. I think there's a balance between being really serious and, you know, having a smile on your face and enjoying yourself.
Have you been either the victim of or a part of a Mike Trout prank yet?
No, but now I'm glad you let me in on the scoop because, you know, I was the victim of very, very numerous amounts of Brett Gardner pranks. So now that I have my eye out, I'm gonna let him know.
See, now what's going to happen here? Now I'm going to be in trouble. Now I'm going to be in trouble because I tipped you off. So
you did. I'm going to let him know.
No,
like, hey,
please.
Try and let me know.
That's not going to play well for me. I know that. That's going to be trouble out there. Okay, so is there like one you can share from Brett that was like particularly memorable?
Yeah. So my first 2017, I was on the fence of making the team. It was like this second to last day of camp. I'm out on the backfield, and this is before like me and Brett became like boys. So I was familiar with him, but like I wasn't comfortable around him yet. And I'm out in the backfield, and one of the clubbies comes and gets me. He's like, "Hey, Joe wants to see you in the clubhouse." So I'm like, I either just got sent down to the minor leagues or I just made the team. So I'm walking in there, and I see a bunch of people surrounded by my locker. I'm like, "What the heck's going on?" And then I see like a SWAT officer, a drug dog, and just a bunch of staff around my locker. I'm like, and then my heart starts pounding. I'm like, what the hell is in my locker? And obviously there's nothing, you know, I didn't have anything, but obviously they're there at my locker. So my head starts spinning, and he's like, "Is this your locker, sir?" And I'm like, "Yes." He's like, do you care if I check it?" Like the dog senses something, and the dog starts going nuts, freaking out. And my face turned bright red. And then I just hear Guardy and Judgy and everybody laughing in the background, and they just set like a fake bomb thing so like the dog would start going nuts. So that was the first prank that I was a part of. I almost passed out.
That's beautiful. It sounds like a good room. Sounds like a fun group to hang with. We're excited to have you here with the Angels in this team. Now, okay, what's been the vibe with this team so far? I know it's short, right? Everything is accelerated here with the shortened spring training. But what are some of your initial feelings about the group of Angels coming into this 2022 season?
Tight knit. I can. It's a similar vibe in terms of camaraderie. Everyone's got each other's back. Everyone likes to hang out. It's not just baseball stuff here. You know, they're hanging out off the field, which I think is extremely important. So it's a very fun clubhouse to be around. Everyone's awesome. They like to work hard, but they also keep loose at the same time. So it's a good group to be around so far, and I'm looking forward to really go through the trenches with them because it's from afar on the other side. It's been cool to watch them. You know, they look like a fun group. So being in it now, it's fun.
I'm sure you've heard it a lot, but Joe is big on like freedom and like players like doing their thing and having that kind of comfort. So I know that a lot of players like being a part of that. Have you had a chance to watch Shohei much yet?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday obviously he pitched and he looked ridiculous. Like he's disgusting. So I watched him a little bit there, and then my very first day I hit BP with him, and that was a joke. But other than those 2 days, I haven't seen much. But I know how special of a person he is, and I couldn't imagine trying to manage pitching and hitting, so that's probably why I haven't seen him much, but it sure is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Shohei, that guy, nobody's, he's just in his own world when it comes to the work that it takes to do both, and the fact that he pitched yesterday and now is sitting leadoff in the lineup today, absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Talk about Tyler Wade right now. Hey, how excited is your family that you're coming back here?
You have no idea, man, you know. It's super. My parents both work really hard, so it was tough for them to come back to New York, and we don't really play the West Coast, so they didn't really get to see me play that much unless we played Anaheim or Oakland or San Fran, whoever it may be. So being able to – they bought season tickets, so, like, you know, like they're excited that I'm here. You know, my cousins and my aunts and my uncles are in Newport, so it's literally going to be everybody there. So I think the whole family is excited that they actually get to come see me play on a regular basis again.
That's going to be really cool. Excited to see that. Hey, Tyler, really appreciate the time. Looking forward to getting together out in Arizona. Thank you, and I think this will be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Me too, Trent. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, man. Later.
What's not to like about Tyler Wade, man? 268 last season, stole 17 bags, did that in 103 games. He had 117 bags and had 145 plate appearances. Kind of a breakout when this time with the Yankees. And that was playing a style that didn't fit him. Now he comes here, plays for Joe Maddon. He's like a perfect piece for what's going to fit in the Joe Maddon baseball philosophy. He's going to play baseball. He's going to play an Angels brand of baseball. It's going to be fun to watch, I'm telling you. And Tyler Wade fits that really well. I like Tyler's chances of having a role on opening day. I don't know that he's going to start. Maybe he does. Maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to say. There's a lot of competition. But I see Tyler Wade being a part of the big league club for sure coming opening day 2022. As long as everyone stays healthy. And that's the qualifier to everything. Everybody's got to stay healthy. Speaking of that, Noah Syndergaard coming off of Tommy John last year did pitch in a couple of games, two innings at the end of last season just to prove that he had Tommy John behind him. He was ready to go. And his first outing was in a minor league game where he ended up throwing 50 pitches and had quite a bit of success, looked good out there. I know the fastball velo was low to mid-90s where Syndergaard was at. You know, he's just building on that, and it's hard to really get up for some of these minor league spring training games on the backfields with, you know, hardly anybody watching there. But here's Noah Syndergaard on Bally Sports West. This is courtesy of Bally Sports West. Syndergaard talking about what his first outing was like in the minor league game.
No, just describe the excitement about getting on the mound for technically your first start of the spring.
I hardly got any sleep last night, and the nerves were just flowing all throughout this morning. Just felt good to get the feet wet, get out there, and face some competition.
I know you said finding your delivery is a big part of spring for you. Where are you at in that process right now?
Delivery is feeling pretty comfortable. Pitching's an art. I look forward to, working on my craft every day. It just continues to motivate me and make me hungry.
I know you said this is, speaking of being hungry, this is the most important season of your career. When you talk about emotions, not being able to sleep the night before, how do you temper those emotions? How do you balance those and make sure you still take those right steps to be patient?
I just do my best at trying to stay neutral in all aspects of my life. Don't let things get too high, too low. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of expectations, and it is a really important year for me, but just got to stay focused, got to stay the same, and treat every day like it's the next or the last. So,
thank you. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about your stuff compared to where you should be 3 weeks from opening day?
I felt pretty good about it. I was able to, for the most part, some of the breaking balls I didn't have great control over, but I was able to kind of make adjustments on the fly and still execute some good quality pitches, and it was great to get out here and get my work in. But I look forward to facing some big league hitters next time.
It seemed like you didn't throw a lot of breaking balls. That kind of an emphasis for you to throw a lot of breaking balls and kind of get a
feel
for it?
Yeah, he did it last year. I was advised not to throw any of my breaking balls or sliders per se, but I decided to axe the curveball myself. I just want to get as many reps as I possibly can throwing breaking balls because I'm going to need them this year.
Do you feel like your velocity was where you expected?
I don't even know what my velocity was.
Like 93, 94?
I expect that. Okay. On the backfield, coming off surgery, I don't expect to be 100 right off the bat. So, just as long as I come out healthy.
Are we able to kind of just...
As long as I come out healthy. That's exactly it. Welcome to spring training. That's what it is. Great to hear that from Noah Syndergaard. Yeah, I'm not surprised. He didn't sound surprised either. 93, 94, not a big deal. I don't think you're sweating. You're not sweating that on the backfields in the first spring training appearance in a minor league game. No. You're not sweating that. How about the fact that he was nervous, though? The night, like, he couldn't sleep last night because he was like nervous, excited to pitch? I love that. That means, you know what that shows me? That shows me how much Syndergaard cares. It's a huge year for him. It's a huge year for the Angels. No Syndergaard's going to get paid if he has a good year this year. And if the Angels perform to the level that many people think that they can, and can stay healthy and be on the field, there is a real opportunity for those two goals to align that could lead to a lot of success for this ball club. I'm looking forward to it. All right, that's going to do it for now here on the Angels Recap Podcast. You know, we're doing an online pregame show before every game, 30 minutes before every spring training game. You can tune in to am830.net, download the AM830 app, a good way to go do that. Of course, if you're not already a subscriber of this podcast, we highly encourage you to do that. You can find it at angels.com/podcast. And, of course, we're on the radio talking every day. I'm going to be doing some work on Bally Sports West coming up the next couple of days out there in the desert. So looking forward to maybe seeing you guys out at spring training. Should be lots of fun. All right, for everybody that helps put this show together, my name is Trent Rush. Thanks for joining us, and this has been another edition of the Angels Recap Podcast.